May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'd like to share with you my thoughts on Jesus' words. Have you still no faith? Words that he uttered to his disciples after he calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. In this morning's Psalm and the Old Testament reading from Job, we were reminded of God's creative power, his majesty and control of nature. In this morning's New Testament reading, we heard of Jesus' supremacy over the windstorm, and he spoke of faith, or the lack of faith. In Dunstable, where Alison and I moved from, there's no river, no lakes, no open water reservoir. We couldn't believe our luck to discover that there was a Whitney Lake close by, two branches of the Windrush, a mere half mile from Ducklington, multiple standing lakes down the road, and the River Thames flowing through Newbridge. I've taken to doing long walks up and downstream along the Thames path, the most recent one from Abingdon to Wallingford. Now, I freely admit that I'm a poor navigator and I get easily lost. Alison can attest to that. As long as I had the Thames within sight, I knew I would be okay. So when I started out from Abingdon, I needed to stop quite a few times, reassuring myself that the Thames was in fact flowing in the direction of my walk to Wallingford. I needed to check because of my lack of faith in my navigational abilities. I wish I didn't doubt, feel momentarily anxious, and did have faith in finding my way around in unfamiliar surroundings. Before the incident of the boat being almost swamped in the storm, Jesus had been preaching and healing along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. At times he was so crowded by the people eager to hear his parables, he arranged to preach from a boat just off the near shore so he wasn't crushed by the press of the crowd. The people were entranced by the parables he was using to make a point about living in faith. Amongst his parables on that day was the sower and the seed, and the parable of the mustard seed. When evening came, Jesus was exhausted and asked his disciples to sail the boat across the Sea of Galilee. During that passage, Jesus fell asleep on a cushion, and whilst asleep, a great windstorm arose. At this point, I think it's important to just ponder on two salient facts. Although Jesus was the Son of God, he was incarnated a man with human needs. One of these was sleep. In the hours before, he had not only laid hands on those who were sick and expelled unclean spirits, but he also felt the power leaving him when people realized they could but touch the cloak to be healed. Jesus was weary, and I'm sure he could have slept throughout that windstorm without he or his disciples coming to any harm. The second point is this. Many of Jesus' disciples were fishermen, and of Jewish heritage, we know that the Jews were in the past desert wandering tillers of the soil and herdsmen. As fishermen, they were aware of the vagaries of the Sea of Galilee and might have been wary of setting sail after dark on a lake that was well known for its nighttime windstorms. Their fear at the storm and the knowledge that their boat could be swamped and they could lose their lives was a real possibility. one could excuse them for their panic and distress. One of the inherent traits of our human condition is the concept of fight or flight when confronted with what appears to be a threat. No matter whether the threat is physical, emotional, or psychological, fight or the lack of it is no moral weakness, nothing to be ashamed of. It is an inbuilt physiological phenomena devised to protect us from harm. In some of us, it is cleverly hidden from others. In many, it becomes manifest as anxiety and panic. I've no doubt in my mind that the feeling of being frightened, scared, being anxious and panicky has been so very real for many of us during this COVID pandemic. But here comes the rub. For those who believe in Jesus Christ, there is faith. A faith that supplements our inbuilt protective apparatus and can significantly ease our human distress. For the Palestinians of Jesus' time, faith had been around for a long, long time. We now need to turn back the clock some 3,000 to 4,000 years ago. Picture the scene of thousands of Israelite men, women, old people, infirm, pregnant women, babes in arms, and small children piled up on the shore of the Red Sea. They were fleeing from the ruthless tyranny of Pharaoh and knew that they were being pursued by the Egyptian army's 600 picked chariots and armed soldiers. The Israelites were distressed, panicking, fearing for their lives. They turned to Moses in their anguish. Moses replied, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to keep still." As they say, the rest of what happened is history. In Mark's Gospel, we read about a woman who suffered from hemorrhages for 12 years, had suffered dreadfully, and her condition was in fact getting worse. She was in crisis. When Jesus was passing by, she said to herself, "If I could just but touch his clothes, I will be made well." She did so, and when Jesus discovered who had caused the power to go from him, he said to the woman, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed from your disease." Daughter, your faith has made you well. In Matthew chapter 10, we learn about the centurion from Capernaum who appealed directly to Jesus, asking him to heal his servant who was lying at home, paralyzed in terrible distress. He admitted to Jesus that despite his rank in society, he found himself unworthy for Jesus to enter his home and pleaded that Jesus should only speak the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus replied to the centurion, "Go, let it be done for you according to your faith." Let it be done for you according to your faith. Faith, friends, is what is needed. In the stricken boat being swamped by waves created by the windstorm, the disciples wake up Jesus, almost accusing him. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" After stilling the storm, Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid? have you still no faith? You and I don't always understand why the disciples' faith in the Lord was lacking after the passage of so much time in his company. I believe it's also a reminder to them that at the worst they are people who need to grow further in their faith and learn more about the life as a follower of Christ. I recognize us in that experience of those disciples more than 2,000 years ago. Jesus gives us the tempting message. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Matthew's gospel also reminds the reader that even if faith provides a response yearned for, that faith needs to be sustained. It requires the believer to see it through to the end. In Matthew, we read that Peter is invited by Jesus to leave the boat in the stormy wind and walk toward him on water. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand, caught him, and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Faith isn't there for a brief moment. It should be sustained for the long war. This passage from Matthew reminds us that when Peter wavered in his faith, Jesus was at hand to assist. Jesus is acutely aware of our inadequacies and precariousness. As someone knowledgeable about psychiatric things, I'm only too aware that by our very nature, our faith in times of need is challenged by doubt, lack of self-confidence, the damaging impact of life events in years gone by, high anxiety that clouds the mind, and plain, straightforward panic. Some of us are more fortunate than others in dealing with what cards we are dealt with in life. For some, every day is a real struggle, and faith seems to evade us when we need it most. There's no magic formula for achieving faith and having life crises relieved or dealt with. May I offer the following for you to consider? Faith cannot be earned by good works. There are some people that know the Lord without knowing what faith is. For some folk, there is no certainty that they have faith or enough of it. Faith is something very personal to you as an individual. Faith can be developed and enriched and shared with those near and dear to you. Even those who casually come into contact will know there is something different in those whose faith has become the very DNA of their lives. In Psalm 91, it speaks of a loving God, the Father speaking to you and me, a Father who promises to be there when our faith is challenged. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. I know of no better source of faith than that of our protective God. In conclusion, may I remind you, when God appeared to Moses in a flame out of bush and commanded him, "So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Moses' faith to carry out God's command was sorely tried. But it was the same Moses on the shore of the Red Sea, boldly and in complete faith, telling the Israelites, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to keep still. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to keep still." I suggest that there is no better reassurance for our faith than this. Amen.